You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We've got NHL action tomorrow. Austin Matthews and the Maple Leafs hosting Jack Hughes and the Devils, pardon me, that's on ESPN Plus at 7:30 Eastern Time. And with that, we welcome you to hour number two this morning of Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And I cannot help but notice, you got more costume changes than a Cher concert this morning. Here you're going back and forth. You got the Duke jacket. You don't got the Duke jacket.
Very emotional today, okay? Coming off a big win last night, big games coming up, NBA games, a lot to discuss.
That's right. So when Jay is doing his NBA analysis this morning, he's dressed like this. And when he's doing his college analysis, he's got the Duke Brotherhood jacket working this morning. And I'm telling you right now, Duke is going to the Final Four. We'll have all the conversation about the tournament as we continue. But we start the NFL. So as we speak in Orlando, the coaches are all gathering at the annual owners meetings. And they're all talking, and we're turning around the sound for you as quickly as we can. And we have focused on Mike Tomlin a lot this morning because he has the most interesting situation. He's got Russell Wilson, and he's got Justin Fields. And just a few moments ago, this was within the last few minutes, he said what I think might be the most interesting thing about Fields through this entire process.
In terms of Justin, what have you seen on film that kind of gave you the confidence that he still has more to give than he showed in Chicago?
Oh, my gosh, man. He's, you know, he oozes talent and potential. He's worn the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback, but still he gets an opportunity to come into a community-like situation and learn from a guy that's been doing it for over a decade. Man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I'm just excited about working to be a part of extracting it. We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we are not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams. It's good for receivers, tight ends, running backs, et cetera. All the things that people that are really committed to winning do this time of year. Russell has those resources, man, that structure. And so that's why I say he has pole position, man. It just creates a synergy that I think is good for this time of year. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities.
So all so interesting. And Dan Graziano was there at the table for these conversations. Inexplicably, Dan himself not sweating. Mike Tomlin looks like he's conducting those from inside of a schwitz. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, the man is dripping. But let's try not to focus on that. Dan, you okay? Is it as hot down there? Why is he sweating so much?
I'm good.
Yeah.
My guess is that he, unlike myself, got up early and got to the gym and was hustling back from there at that point. So I can't vouch for that, unfortunately, because I got more sleep, I think, than exercise. But it's coming later. So if you had me on this afternoon, you might see me sweating.
Yeah, Tomlin is more of a hotel gym guy. Graziano is more of a hotel bar guy. I know these guys, and that's where you can usually find those guys. But anyway, okay, let's get down to business here. The Justin Fields piece of this, he's talking about Justin Fields like they've just drafted a rookie with extraordinary talent. And I understand it. Yeah. I understand that's how you pursue it. But Dan, I mean, let's get you in here first because of the particulars. When you draft a rookie, you've got him under contract for 4 or 5 years. They have 1 year left with Justin Fields where they've got to figure stuff out and he's going to have to figure out what his options are. If I'm Justin Fields, I need to get on the field here this year. So the idea that he's just going to be good sitting back and learning behind Russell Wilson sounds good, but doesn't actually make sense to me, Dan.
Well, they'll get to evaluate him, obviously, in the preseason and training camp and practices throughout the year if, in fact, he is the backup. So I think they feel like they'll be able to make a good evaluation of Justin Fields, regardless of whether he or Russell Wilson is the starter. But yeah, I think what you hear from Mike Tomlin there is excitement about the player, still 25 years old as a player, and still, as he said, oozing potential and oozing talent. So I think he's, you know, you factor in, and we've discussed this at length on this show, you factor in the cost of acquiring these guys and how low it was for both of them. I think that's part of the excitement, right? Like, hey, this is all upside for us being the Steelers. And if neither one of them were to work out, they're out of it free and clear after this year, and they can try something else. Obviously, they would prefer that it work out, and they have tough decisions to make on these guys at the end of the year. But I think what you're hearing from Mike Tomlin is sort of the excitement of a fresh situation and the potential it offers. I like two things I like about Mike Tomlin in the coach's breakfast setting. One, he's the one guy that you don't have to stand right next to hear, like, because the way he projects his voice, you can hear him across the table. And two, he tells it like it is. Like, he's not hiding anything. Like, hey, if Fields were to outplay Russell Wilson in camp, sure. I mean, he could absolutely beat him out. Here's exactly why I've said what I said about Russell Wilson being the starter. It's this time of year, and I think there's value in that. So I think you heard the honest truth on that from Mike Tomlin, and he doesn't know how it's going to play out.
I agree completely. But RG3, again, I'm looking at it from the player's perspective. The quarterback, the Steelers have almost no downside in any of this. They've managed this brilliantly. Of that, there is no question. But both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, despite the differences in their age, it could be argued, are sort of playing for their careers now. I mean, there's so much hanging in the balance of what happens to them this year. That creates a competition slash controversy slash whatever you want to call it, whether Mike wants it to be or not. RG3, help me.
Yeah, and Greeny, and that's the brilliance of what Mike Tomlin is doing. He's trying to undercut that in a clear and obvious way. He knows that Russell Wilson comes in as a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and we got to put respect on his name, especially because last year he had a top five touchdown and interception ratio. But Russell Wilson has much more pressure on him than Justin Fields. If Justin Fields never sees the field this year, all he has to do is prove to the Steelers brass that he is worthy of them bringing him back in free agency. Russell Wilson has to actually go out and lead the Steelers to the playoffs, win a playoff game, and potentially go on to the Super Bowl in order for his career there in Pittsburgh to continue. So I think this is brilliant by Mike Tomlin. You don't want guys in your own locker room to be going about the whole offseason saying, man, wow, Russell Wilson looked great today. Oh, but Justin Fields, he looked great yesterday. All that's cut out now. They understand the tone has been set. Mike Tomlin said, this is our starting quarterback, and we're going to move forward with Russell Wilson being that guy. And the other thing I really heard from that situation and what Mike Tomlin said, Greeny, is basically that Justin Fields has talent. He might be younger or the same age as some of the rookies that are coming out this year in the NFL draft, and he just needs time. I love how Mike Tomlin is navigating this entire situation.
Right. Time is right. He just turned 25 years old. I that part of it I get. But time in a different way is not really on his side. Hawk, jump in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what all of you said. It's the mix of Justin Fields only being 25 years old. He is battle tested. I think that's one part that's been understated. The turmoil he had to like build at the beginning of his NFL career in Chicago with the coaching changes, the back and forth with offensive coordinators, players battling injury, and he still came out of it to where he is now, but we still see the potential in him. I think the Steelers understand that even if he doesn't hit the field next year, but they look at him in practice and on a day-to-day and think, man, this kid really could be the quarterback of the future here. They can get him on a team-friendly deal in free agency following it. And what you know about Mike Tomlin, I've seen this on the Pivot podcast. He talks about coaches. He talks about front offices that scout players. And again, saying that when he looks at a player, he looks at what they can become once he gets his hands on them. And that's how they're looking at Justin Fields. All those factors off the field and for him still to deliver on the field, he knows once they get into the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and that community that they really could have a quarterback who could be their future. That if he was coming out now, ability alone, he would be a top five pick right there with these other four guys that we're talking about.
I get it. But Dan, I mean, the point I keep trying to make, and maybe I'm not making it well, is that's all well and good for everybody except Justin Fields. These guys get into the league trying to get to their second contract. This is going to be his second contract. He doesn't envision his second contract being team friendly. He wants, you know, so if he doesn't get to play this year, then he's exactly where the Steelers want him to be, which is he doesn't really have any options. They can pay him whatever they want. That's what I'm trying to get to, Dan.
No, you're absolutely correct. And that's, I mean, yeah, the Steelers will make an evaluation on him based on what they see in practice every day. But you're right. I mean, if they get to the end of the year and he hasn't played, that gives them a strong advantage in terms of retaining him on the kind of deal that they want versus him being able to go out on the market and show it. Look, he'll have opportunities, right? He's going to play in preseason regardless, right? Because everyone does. So, if Justin Fields were to play in preseason and show improvement over what teams saw from him this year, the year before, then all of a sudden maybe he does become an attractive guy in free agency next year, whether he plays in the regular season or not. So, but you're absolutely right, Greeny. I mean, like this is a setback for him. The fact that he was traded for so little relative to what we thought he might be traded for, the fact that he enters the offseason in a backup role, that's a setback for him in terms of his career and trying to move it forward. It's up to him, I guess, at this point, and Tomlin would say the same thing, to show what he can do and to, you know, fight his way out of that situation.
All right, everyone stay where you are. We'll have more on the football as we go. The coaches continue to talk. You'll continue to hear it. In the meantime, March Madness continues to swirl around us. Let's shoot the J. Look at Jay Will knocking that one down back in his Dookie days. What has been, let's go through this, what's your biggest takeaway from the way UConn has dominated so far?
That is called the UConn Invitational.
Yep.
The UConn Huskies are the Boston Celtics of college basketball. They are the best team with the best talent, with the best execution. That doesn't always translate to winning a national championship, but I would be shocked if UConn does not win a chip.
They won't. No one will play them within 10 points. I've made that statement again this morning, and I will do it again. No one plays them within 10 points. How about another one seed? Purdue gets through the opening weekend. Remember, they got knocked out as a one last year in round one. What's your takeaway from them?
I mean, they've got knocked out by a 16, by a 15, by a 13. They took care of business. They were given the easiest bracket, okay? So if you're given the easiest bracket, you do what you do in your first two rounds. You set the tone for the tournament moving forward. But now Gonzaga is going to be their first real matchup, but they did what they had to do.
And then last night, Houston squeaking past Texas A&M in overtime. So all the number one seeds are alive into the Sweet 16. What's your biggest takeaway from the Cougars?
This one's emotional for me, Greeny. Reggie Chaney, a former player that played for Houston last year, he's not on the roster this year, passed away. If you pay attention when Houston plays, they wear a 32 patch on their jersey. And you heard Jamal Shedd, their top player who just scored right there, talk about it after the game. Houston is playing for something bigger than Houston. It's one of the best stories in sports that isn't receiving enough attention.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you brought light to it. That said, they now will play Duke in their next game, and obviously no one expects you not to have your heart with your alma mater there. I like Duke in that game, to be honest with you. How about you?
It's 50-50. You know, Houston is one of these teams, they're used to living in the trenches, right? They're one of the best defensive teams in the country. They're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. And they know who they are. They're an older team. This Duke team, I think, played their best game last night against JMU. It's the most mature I've seen them thus far, but they haven't faced a team with the maturity level of Houston. We'll see how they match up, but if Duke is able to win that game, they're going to have a legitimate chance to win a national championship.
Yeah, that's in Dallas. It's pretty chalky. I mean, the brackets are dripping with chalk off them here. The ones are all alive. The twos are all alive. And Duke is sitting there with Houston. The winner of that game will get the winner of Marquette and NC State. Jay will stay close by. We continue in a moment here where we have much more from the football going. We're reacting to all the coaches as they speak from down at the owners' meetings. We'll hear from the coach of the Jets. Have they done enough to soar to the Super Bowl that Aaron Rodgers so desperately seeks? We'll talk about it. Plus, Chicago, why the first pick has every reason to be concerned about the situation in the second city. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Don't delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are rolling along. Hour number 2 of Get Up. We are live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The NFL owners' meetings are going on. Dan Graziano covering for us in Orlando today. And let's do some overreactions on this Monday with our friend, Senor Graz. Dan, if I were to say the Bears are the best spot for a rookie quarterback, would that be an overreaction?
No, it's not an overreaction. I mean, the Bears are set up pretty well. The last 2 off-seasons they've had have created a situation where they are a better spot for a rookie quarterback than what we're used to seeing. Most of the time, the team that has the number 1 pick was the worst team in the league the previous year. That is not the case with the Bears, who have used the last couple off-seasons to improve their roster around whoever the quarterback was going to be, adding Keenan Allen to DJ Moore. They get Montez Sweat at the deadline. The defense played well second half of the year. It seems like a team that's on the ascent.
All right, we'll talk more about them in a few minutes. In the meantime, if I said the Cowboys Super Bowl window is closed, is that an overreaction?
Of course it's an overreaction. Look, I mean, the Cowboys have shown an ability to compete at a high level year over year. No, they do not succeed in the playoffs, and they're well aware of that, but it's a team that always puts itself in position, and their belief is one of these years it'll break right. I don't see any reason to I mean, look, they haven't done anything in the offseason so far, which has some people upset, but when you look at the way they usually operate their offseason, this is not out of character, and they tend to come back and win 11, 12 games more often than not.
As Jarvis Jones said, they've been hanging around the rim. Finally, if I said a healthy New York Jets team will win the division, is that an overreaction?
If I say yes, will I not be invited back for the home opener this
You're
year
always
at the homestead there, the Greeny Homestead?
Look,
I think it's an overreaction just because of All right, thank you. I appreciate that. I think it's an overreaction just because of the AFC, right? I mean, you have in your division, you have the Bills who make the playoffs every single year. You have the Dolphins who have made the playoffs the last couple of years. The AFC is stacked. I think if the Jets are healthy, they're right in the mix, but we haven't seen it, and we were saying the same thing this time last year. So, yes, I think at this point we have to call it an overreaction.
Yeah, for those who've not been following, here's what the Jets have done. I mean, look at the names on this screen. First of all, just look at the number of them. Then look at the number on the right side of your screen. You see they've added a lot of players with a lot of experience and a lot of injury question marks. So it is the ultimate boom or bust situation in pro football. Here's their coach, Robert Saleh, this morning on their offseason.
Last year, because of all the injuries, a lot of guys got a lot of playing time that weren't expected to. So we feel really good about the guys who played a year ago as part of building our depth, and they still have room to grow, you know, and they still have room to grow into even better football players. So we feel really good about the depth of our offensive line. Like I said, you're not just going to throw those guys away. They were a part of something last year, and continue to work with those guys and continue to help them build.
Okay, so that's a lot of words, but here's the point. That if I were to tell you, and look, I mean, injuries are the X factor here. We all understand that, and that begins with the quarterback. He's 40 years old, and he's coming off an Achilles. But if I were to tell you, Hawk, that we are living in a world where Tyron Smith and Mike Williams and Aaron Rodgers are all relatively healthy this year. Let's say they all, none of them miss more than four games this season. Are the Jets a legitimate contender in the AFC?
No. I just think the AFC is too good. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, you still have to go through Joe Burrow. You got to go through CJ Stroud in year two. You got to go through the Ravens. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes is in that division, not including Herbert and all these things. Look, we know Aaron Rodgers is an incredible quarterback. He's one of the most talented in NFL history. But do I feel any better about this Jets team than I did with the team that he had in Green Bay? When he had Davante Adams on the outside and David Bakhtiari protecting him, like, no, this is a step forward for the Jets, but we have to temper our expectations. The AFC is a completely different beast, and I know we know that he's coming off an Achilles, but it's factored in. He hasn't played football in a year and a half. He's on the other side of 40. It is not normal for quarterbacks to be playing their best at that age. And I think the Tom Brady 12 experience makes us think that this is just going to carry over to Aaron Rodgers. And we're not even going to include his ability to galvanize the guys in the locker room and be one of them. It's just going to be a tough proposition.
I'm sorry, Andrew, we lost your signal there. I didn't hear like the last minute and a half of that. And I'm just going to erase it from my memory banks. I'm now sweating like Mike Tomlin at the coaches' owners' meetings there this morning. I don't know what that's about. RG3, jump in here. Say anything else.
Grady, that was funny. That was funny. Hawk, I will say this. That Packers team that you mentioned, that the last one that Aaron Rodgers is on with Davante Adams, this Jets team is better than that team. It's certainly better than the last Packer team that he was on. So, yes, the AFC is a different monster, but you don't have Aaron Rodgers and Breece Hall and Mike Williams and Garrett Wilson and Tyron Smith and Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed and Mr. Bless You, Thank You himself, Queen and Williams, on the defensive side of the football and say, yeah, they're not going to be winning the AFC East or not going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. This team is built to win right now. They've gone all in. Joe Douglas has done an amazing job this offseason of giving them an opportunity to make it happen. And they have the firepower on both sides of the football to make it happen and win a Super Bowl. I'll put it this way to you, Hawk. Aaron Rodgers has won 85% of his games when his defense holds teams to 21 points or fewer. Right now, the Jets are only giving up 19.7 points per game over the last two seasons. This Jets team is capable. It's a matter of, can they stay healthy? If they can't stay healthy, they got to have depth. And that's what the draft is going to be for. So I'm very high on the Jets right now.
Yeah, take that, Hawk.
Do you like them better than the Bills?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The Bills lost the heart and soul of their defense.
Yes.
I like them better than the Bills. The Bills lost the heart and soul. No, nah, nobody likes anyone better than the Chiefs. No one likes anyone better than the Chiefs. Come on, man.
I mean,
no.
You can be a legitimate contender. Like, you can be very rich and not have Jeff Bezos' money, right? You can still be rich and not, you know, 100%. Have $150 billion. I think that they can, to use Jerry Jones' favorite expression, they're good enough if they're healthy to hang around the rim. And then you never know what might happen. Graziano, put a final word on this thing for me here.
I think when you look at what the Jets have done, what they've built, you have a team that is, you know, you have Aaron Rodgers at age 40. You bring in Aaron Rodgers to try and win a Super Bowl. You don't bring in Aaron Rodgers to try and go 10-7 or 11-6 and kind of lose in the second round, right? So they have gone all in. They've taken some risks on some often injured players at key positions. But Robert Saleh this morning used the word dynamic to talk about those acquisitions, Tyron Smith, Mike Williams. If they all stay healthy, they can be great. There are questions and there's a wide range of potential outcomes. The quarterback's 40. A lot of these guys get hurt. The coaching staff, unlike Buffalo's, has not shown an ability to manage its way through the difficulties of a season year in, year out. So we don't know a lot about the Jets, but if in theory, it all looks great.
Okay, so again, I think something we've learned here is that RG3 will be back and everyone else is very much in question. As we continue, is Caleb Williams stepping into the best situation if and when he's drafted by the Bears? Robert has a lot to say about that, and frankly, he's right. You'll hear it next.
Dear Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And it is wonderful to be back after a week away. I certainly missed you. I hope you missed me. In the meantime, let me give you a green list of the top five things that happened while I was away. And at number five, I'm going to say I believe that what goes around comes around. And I think the Bears put good karma into the universe by doing right by Justin Fields. Could they have held on to him a little longer? Could they have tried to squeeze a little more out of the marketplace in return for him? They probably could have done both of those. But those would not have done Justin Fields a service. And I think by doing this, by doing right by the kid in the long run, it will wind up paying dividends. They put good karma out there. That should never go overlooked. At number four, and we're going to talk about him in a minute, J.J. McCarthy's stock is skyrocketing. Everyone I talk to, everyone I hear from is telling me that McCarthy is skyrocketing up people's draft boards. I don't think there's any way in the world he is still on the board by the time we get to the sixth pick. And I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that he winds up being the third quarterback selected in this draft. At number three, I will say the two biggest moves of free agency continue to be ones that were made before I left. Atlanta's acquisition of Kirk Cousins, I will continue to say it even though everyone disagrees with me. I think they are a sneaky Super Bowl contender. And then Derrick Henry's acquisition in Baltimore, I think is one of the great, logical, just makes perfect sense kind of moves. That's a team that inexplicably forgot to run the ball at the end of last season. They won't forget with that guy on their team. They were this close. He's this big. You do the math. Number two, we just talked about the Jets. They're getting this offseason exactly right. And they're doing exactly what they need to do. I can't think of a team in recent memory that has been more all in than they are right now. It is genuinely Super Bowl or bust. So set yourself up. Sign everybody you can. Take risks. They are as risky as could be, but I think it continues to make all the sense in the world. And then at number one, the big winner in all of this is Justin Fields. I think he is a huge winner. I believe he can make himself the Steelers quarterback of the future. They've got to figure out a scenario in which he gets himself onto the field. I think at some point he will, and he will show what I've been saying all along. That kid is capable of being an excellent quarterback. Meantime, the team he leaves behind is the Chicago Bears. Their general manager, Ryan Poles, just this morning addressing the media, talking about Caleb Williams, the presumptive number one pick.
When you talk to his teammates, they don't like him. They love him. His leadership, how he brings people together, he's intentional with his leadership. Same goes with the staff. I'm having a hard time finding a person that doesn't like him or even love him and thinks, you know, that he can reach the highest limits. So the feedback's been good.
All right, that's in other words, the Bears are taking Caleb Williams with the first pick in this year's draft, which should not come as a surprise to anyone. Now, RG3, I know a lot of people, I was away last week, a lot of people got mad at you for saying what you said. Now, Deion Sanders brought up the term doing an Eli, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I will ask you, what is your concern, for those who didn't see it or hear from you last week, what is your concern about Caleb or whichever quarterback it is that winds up in Chicago this year?
Well, Greeny, I said that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and tell the Bears not to draft him. It's not because they don't have the best roster a number one pick has ever had. It's because of the instability at the head coaching position. Now, I've heard it described that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So my concern with the Bears is that with Mitchell Trubisky, he was drafted by John Fox. He had 1 year with him. They fired him and they brought in Matt Nagy. Well, with Justin Fields, he had Matt Nagy and then they fired him, brought in Eberflus, and now he's gone from there. So when you look at Caleb Williams, if he's going to go into a situation, you want to have the coaching ranks be solidified and not have him working with his second offensive coordinator and his second head coach in his second season, just like Trubisky and Fields did. That is my main concern when it comes to all this, because it's going to be the coaching staff and their ability to grow with the quarterback and having that consistency day in and day out for years upon years to get the maximum amount out of the quarterback that they draft. They're not just trying to win games. They're trying to develop the QB and win Super Bowls. I don't think that they have that right now. And as far as I know, Matt Eberflus is fighting for his life this year. And that's not a situation you want to put a young quarterback in, because now the coaching staff is going to rush his development to try to preserve their own jobs. And that is not what you want. I want all Bears fans to know, I got no hate in my heart for you guys. I just want you to finally get that franchise quarterback that you've been yearning for. And right now, the situation in Chicago is not ideal for that.
Listen, Chicago is my second home. I lived there 11 years, met and married my wife there. I love that organization. I grew up in the business covering that team. RG3 is exactly right. And I've been saying this on the radio for months. If the Bears are going to do right here, then they have to extend Eberflus. Dan Graziano, to our knowledge, they haven't made any longer commitment to their head coach and their new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, than 1 year. If I'm the young quarterback, I'm very concerned about exactly that. It has ruined quarterbacks left and right. From my own franchise, I can count them. He just counted off all the Bears quarterbacks. Ask Sam Darnold how it worked out for him and so many others around the league. He needs to be in a stable, whoever it is, whether it's Caleb or anybody else. You need to provide a stable foundation for him. And to my knowledge, if this season goes sideways, the Bears have no commitment to Matt Eberflus.
No, I mean, to my knowledge as well. Of course, that does not mean that can't change, right, throughout the offseason. Sometimes we do see people get extensions at later in the offseason once other business is taken care of. So don't rule that out. I do think, to all of Robert's points, I think it might be a mistake to hold the sins of the past against the current Bears regime. They've shown a little bit of something here these last couple of years. They have built a strong roster. I mean, if you go back to November, as recently as November, you would have said that Matt Eberflus probably doesn't come back for 2024. And they finished very strong with him not only as the head coach, but also the defensive coordinator, because they had to fire that guy in the middle of the season. And they finished strong and played good defense, and they feel good about Eberflus coming into this year. I agree with you guys. If you feel good about a guy, then why not extend him? And again, maybe they will. But I do think that this is a situation that I think deserves a little bit more benefit of the doubt than just like, oh, the Bears always mess this up. I think the current regime has shown a little bit of something that those last couple didn't.
What you're saying is 100% right. If by the current regime you mean Ryan Poles, who was the general manager and was not when any
and
of
Eberflus.
Those previous things happened. Well, yeah, I mean, let's see about Eberflus. I mean, the jury is still very much out on him as a coach. He seems to have done a good job keeping the situation together last year. We'll see. But the people who ultimately make the decisions on who those people are, who sits in those chairs, they haven't changed. They haven't changed since the inception of the franchise 100 years ago. So, I mean, that would concern me at least a little bit if I were in a position to have my entire professional future being determined by those people making those decisions. Hawk, jump in here.
Yeah, I think there's going to be instability for any organization that's picking at the top of the draft, specifically when you have a defensive head coach. Even if he goes to Washington and he balls out as a rookie, you don't think that offensive coordinator is going to get a head coaching job somewhere else? That's the day and age we're in the NFL. Everyone gets fired after a year or 2 years. There is no such thing as stability unless your quarterback can come in and play. It's a chicken and the egg, and it actually lacks accountability for every time a quarterback isn't successful because you think he's going to be great because he's drafted early, that he's not successful, that you blame the coach. For Caleb Williams, they moved heaven and earth. They just got rid of Justin Fields, a quarterback we're talking about, and you said, Greeny, has a ton of potential because they think, Caleb Williams, you are the guy. You are the one to turn this whole thing around. And if you're successful, none of that will matter because you are the next coming of Mr. Patrick Mahomes. So let's put that to the test. As far as like the what's around you, which is actually the biggest indicator of whether you'll be successful, DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Everett, this might be the most weapons we've ever seen a first overall draft pick quarterback come into with. So it is set up for success for all the reasons that you talked about with Ryan Pohl. So I don't think Washington Commanders have anything close to that from a personnel perspective. And that's what's most important for a young quarterback, that it's not solely on his shoulders.
There are no words to describe how strongly I disagree. RG3, go.
Yes, I disagree as well. Here's what I would say. Everyone talks about the players, as far as the guys around Caleb Williams or whoever the Bears decide to draft. But we saw this happen many times in NFL history. The 2019 Browns had Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., and Nick Chubb. They won six games because they were let down by coaching. Freddie Kitchens was the coach. They went 6-10. So I understand that weapons-wise, this is one of the best situations, if not the best ever, for a number one overall pick. But it's more than just the players. And what lacks accountability is us coming on here and talking about when a player fails, it's all the player's fault. There's more organizations in the NFL that don't know how to develop quarterbacks and let these guys down than the quarterbacks not having the ability to play football at a high level. The quarterback is a very special position, and your entire organization has to be catered to that guy. So if one thing is off in that chain, it affects everything. So for Washington, the reason that I think they're a better situation isn't just because Caleb Williams is from there and went to Gonzaga College High School. It's the fact that they have a clean slate, new GM, new ownership, new head coach, and their offensive coordinator is a guy that no one in the NFL is going to pluck because Cliff Kingsbury has been a head coach. And people don't view him that nicely as a head coach. So he's going to have opportunities for 2 to 3 years to build with that young QB. That will not be the case in Chicago.
Hey, look, we could talk about this forever. I love the topic. And Mahomes did not become Mahomes, by the way, by accident. He got to sit his first year behind a good quarterback in Alex Smith. And his offensive mind is Andy Reid, who's still there. And that's why they're still winning all these games. Let's leave this for the moment because we will come back to it. But we haven't even gotten all morning long to what is actually the most important thing that's going to happen in sports today. And that is that Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani is going to address reporters today and address the illegal gambling and theft allegations that have been levied against his former interpreter. The interpreter, whose name is Ipe Mizuhara, was fired by the Dodgers last week in the wake of media inquiries surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers that were sent from Ohtani's bank account to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. Mizuhara told ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debt and that Ohtani had not transferred the money. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said it's good that Ohtani will address the matter publicly.
Everything that I've seen, and he's kind of business as usual, really. And so I'm really looking forward to his addressing everyone tomorrow as well. It's the right thing to do, and I'm happy he's going to, speak to what he knows and give his thoughts on the whole situation. I think it'll give us all a little bit more clarity.
Did the Dodgers ask Shohei to speak this weekend, or is this his decision?
This is Shohei's decision.
That's important to point out. Ohtani himself has not been accused of gambling, and none of the bets is believed to have been made on baseball. We all understand that that would be a circumstance that has in the past led to permanent bans from the sport. Major League Baseball announced Friday afternoon that its Department of Investigations is formally looking into the matter. Again, Ohtani will talk about it today. We will have full coverage all day long on ESPN. As we continue, a primetime proclamation Dion said something yesterday that could signal huge change in the NFL. You will hear it, and you'll hear what we think of it coming up. Plus, here we go, Graziano. You can't escape Hembo even down there in Florida. Who is the only coach to win at least 12 games the same year his team drafted number one overall? The answer's next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. All right, Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano, who's in Orlando this morning. It's a good question. Who's the only coach to win 12 games or more the year his team drafted number one overall?
Let's go, Graz.
I have this sneaking feeling, right, that there's some, like, trick aspect to this question where in a minute we're going to be like, that's ridiculous, that's unfair, because I don't trust this guy. I don't remember exactly how many games the Colts won in Andrew Luck's rookie year, but I remember they were very good and made the playoffs, so I'm going to guess Chuck Pagano.
That's close. It's a good guess. They didn't win 12. They did win their division. It's Marty Schottenheimer, and here's the sneaky part. They drafted Eli Manning number one, traded him to the Giants.
So as I predicted, there's some BS going on here that was supposed to be a trick. You're talking about a player didn't play for the team. Yeah, whatever, man.
Fair enough. And you know, that what he did was he pulled an Eli, and that perfectly segues us to our next topic. Sound off this morning. Deion Sanders, you're going to hear him on a podcast talking about two stars from his team, one of whom is his son, and you're going to hear him bring up the idea of pulling an Eli. Just listen.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. The latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen. It's gonna be an Eli.
So again, an Eli is the idea of a player forcing his way through whatever leverage he has out of not being drafted or not playing at a place that he doesn't want to be. Eli Manning famously did it with San Diego. John Elway famously did it with Baltimore generations ago. It's rare, but it happens. And RG3, I know that you believe, as one who was sort of in this situation at one point in your life, a super high draft pick, Heisman winner, all that kind of stuff. Do you think Deion is talking about what the future of pro football is going to look like?
100%, Greeny. It is what the future is going to be. The power shift is happening. And I got to say, when I was coming out, we went to the we had these meetings with NFL veterans, and they talked to us about how playing in the NFL is a privilege. And it's not a right. It's not something that you deserve. It's something that you're blessed with. And I don't disagree with that. But for a certain select few guys at the top of the draft, they can start exercising that power that has a lot of college coaches running from the college ranks to the NFL. You look at Marvin Harrison Jr., who didn't do the combine, who didn't do pro day, didn't run a 40. And you look at Caleb Williams, who actually went to the combine and basically did nothing except for the meetings. players are starting to understand their true value. They are now understanding that they can control their narratives and be in the media at the same time as they play. So as this continues to grow and develop, and all these kids from college who are a part of this NIL age of player empowerment come to the NFL, a select few are going to start saying, I don't want to play in this city. I don't want to be here for whatever reason. Maybe it's too hot. Maybe it's too cold. Maybe the organization's not great. But what Deion Sanders is talking about is exactly what is coming down the pipeline. And I think the coaches and organizations have to realize that players now know without them, the league is nothing. Imagine the NFL without Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Not as many people would watch. So get ready.
I think that is, for any number of reasons, a really important and interesting point. I wanted to get Jay Will in on this as well because, you know, this era of collegiate sports is something that you're very connected to with your coverage of our college basketball and everything else. What do you think of what Deion just said, Jay?
Well, Deion has a platform that is different than anybody else in all of sports, right? So Deion Sanders is a power broker, and I think you'll see a lot more power brokers in the game of college sports. And the reality is not everybody will be able to do this. But Bo Jackson did this already, guys, and this is what NIL does, right? Bo Jackson, 1986, said, okay, Bucks, you want to draft me? If you draft me, I'll play baseball. They drafted him. He played baseball. So now the power these players have, like you said, right? It's like, okay, you want to draft me? Oh, fine. I'm not going to come in a draft. I'll just go back to school and make $2.5 million a year. I'll sit in my penthouse. I have other ways of earning. There's not the same deprivation of I need to make money like there was 10 years ago because of NIL. It changes everything.
Yeah, I think he's right. Now, Hawk, you brought up a concern with regard to all of this that I think is a legitimate one.
Yeah. I think it's about business, and exactly to your point, Jay Will, it is about leverage. Bo Jackson had leverage of another sport. Kyler Murray had leverage of two sports being a first-round pick, and we had this same conversation when he was coming out. And if you have the leverage of, I'll just go back to school another year, the question becomes, in those scenarios where you don't have leverage on the other side, it's a thin line between athlete empowerment and athlete entitlement, because what are you going to do? Do you really feel like you have the power to undo a whole system for yourself? And not only that, are you making it harder on yourself as you go into locker rooms to galvanize the people who are actually in there that are also dictating and a part of your success or lack thereof. So yes, we are in the age of athlete empowerment. It's an incredible and wonderful thing, something that I've benefited from and other people on this panel have benefited from and championed, but you have to do your part. That does not mean resisting uncomfort like Mike Tomlin talks about. And I think this narrative, especially in NIL, as it permeates through all the sports, that you don't have to do anything you're uncomfortable with, or you can change all the factors to only suit you, is a bad message to send to athletes. And it will only get worse if it continues on that trend.
Jay, AJ, I just want to say one thing, because I do agree with you. It's not, you know, all strokes for all folks, but let's not act like this hasn't been going on all the time. Like when I was in college, or when my friends are in college or watching, we always knew what players were taking money from agents, what players actually had leverage in the locker room, what players were already playing that game. So it's something that I think, yeah, it could affect the locker room, but the locker rooms have already known these things have been going on for a while. Like, you know, guys that roll around with extra cash in their pocket. You know, guys that actually have access to the clubs and how to get bottles. You know, guys that have access to the nice cars. Like, this game has been going on for a while. It's not new.
And the reality is players have this leverage in, certainly in basketball now. Kevin Durant woke up one morning, decided he wanted to get traded, and by that night he did. It's just a question of at what stage in your career you are able to do it. All right, it's a fascinating topic. We'll keep talking about it all week long. In the meantime, First Take will be talking about it next as well. They're coming your way top of the hour. Should Russell be the Steelers starter? How big was the Lakers' win last night? All that and more with Molly, Stephen A., Shannon, Perk, Jay Will, RG3, Hawk, and more.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. And the March Madness continues tonight with NCAA Women's Championship second round continuing. You'll see Syracuse taking on UConn, which means you'll see Paige Beckers. Then you'll see West Virginia taking on Iowa. That means Caitlin Clark. And then the freshman phenom Juju Watkins leading USC against Kansas. All games also available on the ESPN app. The March Madness has been sensational on both the men's and women's sides. The men's side is just the UConn Invitational. With that, it is good to be back, and I will see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.